It's time for our look ahead to some audio describe theatre and some audio describe arts as well. And to help us do that each month, we speak with Anne Hornsby from Mind's Eye Arts, and we look at some touring productions, we look at perhaps tourist attractions or arts venues which are embracing audio description. Now, that gives blind and partially sighted visitors, say, who are visiting the theatre, a set of headphones, and they have a dialogue which is in between the actor's conversation, which kind of describes what's going on visually on stage. And there can also be a touch tour as well before the performance, so visually impaired people get on the stage, they can have a look around some of the props, perhaps even meet some of the cast and some of the sets as well, so all helping to build that picture. And as always, we chat with Anne Hornsby. Hello, Anne.
Hello there, Alan.
Are you enjoying the weather?
I am indeed, yes. Mostly I'm in a dark theatre, but whenever I get out, I blink like a mole coming into the light and make the most of it.
They let you into the sun sometimes. Anyway, right, we've got a few to take a look at today, quite a mixed bag today, and I don't think I really know a couple of these, maybe, possibly. Anyway, let's start in Manchester. What are we looking at here?
This is a new play, a world premiere. It's called There Is a Light That Never Goes Out, Scenes from the Luddite Rebellion. And I think this is going to be a really interesting one. We begin, and it's in the early 1800s, when Manchester's one of the most advanced cities in the world, overflowing with innovation. But the workers and the craftsmen are being sidelined for profit. So that sounds like we could be talking about today. So It's drawing parallels between these days of the Luddites, who, of course, smashed the machines in their anger and their frustration because they thought that technology was taking away their jobs and taking away the need for their skills. So it then updates us and brings us into the 21st century, when people are perhaps thinking the same way, especially about computers and technology. So it's brand new, it's still being developed, it's using 21st century technology, as that is one of the themes in the show, and it's going to bring it all to life and bring these issues to life in a way that's never been experienced before. So something very new and challenging, and something for the mind to distill as well, I think, after the performance.
Is that something you've come across before, Anne, where technology is really used perhaps for backgrounds or holograms or things like that? Because, you know, we're used to probably the traditional sets which people go around on a touch tour, but do you still get that feel if it's all on screens and so on?
That's a really good point, actually, Alan. The set designs are really changing, and that does have an effect on the description, because if it is a physical piece of scenery, then it takes a certain amount of time, even if it's a computerized system for taking it off the stage and bringing the new scenery onto the stage, or it will be physically done by stagehands or sometimes the actors themselves. And therefore, there will always be a very small amount of time for the describer to describe that as it happens. If it's as if we're looking at a screen and the images can flicker and change in a split second, many, many changes within a second, and therefore that does have implications for the description. And often it might be during a musical number or during a piece of dialogue, and images will flicker on and off on the screens, and they can be taking us on a whole journey, and there just isn't the opportunity, without talking over the dialogue or the singing, for the describer to get that across. So it certainly does have implications. And as you say, there's nothing physical to touch. Sometimes you go in and you say, well, there's a screen at the back and the two screens at the side. And then you need to set that up during the introduction and so on to try to get over how they will be used during the performance. But it certainly does pose challenges for the live description in terms of getting over the fullness of what the sighted audience are able to see.
That one is only in Manchester, is that right?
That's right. That's at the Royal Exchange Theatre, just for one performance, and that's on the 3rd of August. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's on the same day as Motown the Musical, so people have to watch that.
And that leads us nicely, Anne, into Motown the Musical.
So Motown the Musical on that day is being audio described at the Milton Keynes Theatre. We have briefly talked about this one before, but it is a sensational show, and it is one for making you want to get up on your feet and dance. And just I think there are 50 musical numbers in the show. And they just include, as everyone starts thinking, oh, yes, I know this one, I know this one, I know this one. So it's My Girl, it's What's Going On, Dancing in the Street, Heard It Through the Grapevine, There Ain't No Mountain High Enough. They are, of course, classics from the Motown catalogue. And the story which woven around the musical numbers is about Berry Gordy, who founded Motown Records. And really, it's quite incredible to think it was just one man's dream, really, one man's vision. He worked in a car factory in his early life, and then he kind of adopted the same attitude, as in raw pieces of metal come in and we put them together and we style them and they go out a finished product. And in a way, he regarded his artists who came in, they were a little bit raw, they needed the edges smoothing, they needed a bit of polish, a bit of style, a bit of direction, and then he put them out there as the finished product. And then, I don't know if it's just what would always happen, but the artists became more successful, and many of them did turn their backs on him and were offered more money elsewhere, and that broke his heart in a way. But the whole feel of the show, it's about the celebration and the bringing together of all those artists, and great costumes, great wigs, because we cover quite a period in time. And on the touch store, you mentioned touch stores before, and we do have access to the most fantastic glittering beaded dresses and most wonderful shiny suits and flares. And also we do get to touch some of the wigs. So people come out saying, oh, I touched Stevie Wonder's hair and I touched Diana Ross's curls. So that really gives an added dimension that makes it even more exciting. Mm.
I mean, I'm talking challenges here. I mean, again, that must be a challenge as a describer, because the amount of costume changes, the amount of dancers, the amount of scenery changes as well, that must be quite rapid when you're trying to get all that information across, but not overload the listener either.
That's a good point. I mean, that's always the danger, is that visually we're bombarded, but you don't want to be bombarding the listener, because especially with a show like that, you're primarily there to hear the music and to enjoy the song. And so it's always a question of balance, of making sure that you're not left wondering about anything. You have that knowledge, but we don't want to be talking over some of these great anthems from the soul catalogue. So it's a question of deciding how much information to give. And again, that's where the introductions that we give. So these are the sort of 10, 15 minutes introductions, which are sometimes available before you come. And otherwise, you can sit in your seat and listen. And we do give a lot of information then. So we might say, when she sings this number, then her hair is cascading down her back and she wears a glittering white beaded gown. And then when the listener hears that number, they're thinking, oh, yes, that's the point. And but you might just have time to say in white, and that's all you have time to say as it happens. But if you have managed to set that up beforehand, then the listener has more of an idea. And of course, it's great. There's always a great moment in this one when Diana Ross gets people up on stage, and it is a genuine event. Every performance, she just chooses somebody from the audience and they get up and they join in the singing. So that's always a great moment. And that's fun to describe as well, because you never know who she's going to choose. So as the person gets chosen, you give a quick description of that person too, as they get up and join in. And that's in their reach out and touch somebody's hand. So she reaches out and she touches somebody's hand and she brings them up on stage.
Oh, nice.
Pure theatre.
Right, let's leave the theatre actually, Anne. Mm-hmm. We're going to Preston this time, to the Harris Art Gallery.
That's right. I just thought I'd mention this one because obviously we do some work in museums and galleries, and the Harris in Preston has been working with blind veterans, and they have a group of people coming along. And really, it's just about providing access to their exhibitions, because obviously if you go to the theatre, you can hear the dialogue, the music, you get a sense of the atmosphere. If you go to traditional art gallery, then the paintings or the photographs or the sculptures, especially if you're not allowed to touch them, they don't give you anything unless you need to know what's in front of you. So the priority there is capturing the work of art and translating it into words and trying to make it mean something for people so they get a really good idea of what they're looking at. And wherever possible, we do arrange for people to touch sculptures or to touch anything relevant to the works of art, but it's about including people and making sure that venues are accessible. And this is something that's happening a lot more, but it's always worth bearing in mind if you fancy a trip to an art gallery or a museum and there doesn't seem to be any audio description offered, it's always worth asking, and they may well then arrange for that to happen for you.
Fingers crossed. And that's in Preston. When is that one, Anne?
That one's coming up on the 7th of August.
Okay, we've got time for one more, Anne, because we're going on a bear hunt.
We're going on a bear hunt. Yeah, I do love doing these children's shows. They're very exciting for the little ones. And obviously we adapt the language we use. We use a simple language, and we possibly put more emotion and liveliness into the description than we might if it was a very restrained play for adults, for example. But we're going on a bear hunt, so it's very exciting, and it's described as a swishy swashy splishy splashy oozy squelchy show. So I think I will need to say that a few times when I do my warm-up before I start.
Tongue twister.
It's a great children's book. I mean, it's been around for, I think it was the late 1980s it came out, and I remember reading it to my children when they were little, and because it's very simple and it takes us forward gradually on a story, and we don't know what's going to happen and we're looking for that bear. So for the little ones, some of the slightly older ones, they like to wear the headsets, especially if they're just little earpieces that fit in the ear. But for everybody who wants to come along, parents and bigger brothers and sisters, we do offer these touch tours where they get on stage and they touch the costumes, and the cast are usually so wonderful, and they come and chat to everyone and they do their voices so the children can hear, and it's just joyful, and it's such fun.
Great stuff. Well, we're out of time, Anne, but we do still have a little bit of time if people would like to find out more about Mind's Eye Audio Description, some of these shows you're working on. What's the best way to do that?
The best way is to check the website. That's updated regularly. That's mindseyedescription.co.uk. Or do drop us an email. We'll always get back to you. That's mindseyedescription@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. That's at Mind's Eye Art, and we also have a Facebook page, Mind's Eye Facebook page, so lots of ways to keep in touch.
Fantastic. Well, Anne, we'll catch up again next month for more audio described events, but for the moment, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan. Bye-bye.